your brain is at full capacity with to-dos, birthdays, and dinner plans, meet Skylight Calendar. It syncs your entire family schedule onto a sleek digital display so you focus on important things like where you left your coffee. Right now, Skylight is offering our listeners $30 off their 15-inch calendars by going to skylightcal.com/talk. Go to skylightcal.com/talk for $30 off your 15-inch calendar. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/talk.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Wednesday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time, bright and early on this Wednesday morning, to look back on a decisive game number 4 last night in Indianapolis and a decisive game 4 in the Western Conference Final in the Stanley Cup postseason in Edmonton as well. A ton of playoff action wherein both the association and on the ice DRS, we are just a few games away, it seems, from crowning a cup final and an NBA finals matchup as well. Plenty to go around the Major League Baseball diamond on a full Tuesday slate. All 30 MLB clubs with 15 games in action on the diamond and plenty, plenty more over these 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time here on the grid.
Yeah, it was a good night last night in Major League Baseball, watching it all the way around. Some decent prop bets coming in on some RBI action, but the focus certainly was on the NBA last night, and rightfully so. It could be closing time now in a few series as we await to see who's going to play in the NBA Finals. But topics going to hit hard today. Yesterday, a lot of NBA talk. We shifted over a little bit today to some NFL action. Oof. That's going on off of the field and how it pertains to a team that might be playing on the field with a certain quarterback. So we got some good stuff for you guys in store today. No doubt about that.
Organized team activities known as OTAs, a part of the voluntary offseason program for NFL franchises. Some clubs have already started if they have a first year or rookie head coach, but some that are back under a familiar regime starting yesterday. Who was there, and maybe more importantly, who wasn't for a few NFL teams around the league. But of course, DRS, we start with game number 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals in the NBA postseason. Last night in Indianapolis, the Pacers up 2-1, looking to take a commanding 3-1 series advantage. Or could the New York Knicks even up this set at 2-all, led by a historic performance out of Tyrese Halliburton. 32 points, 15 dimes, 12 boards, 0 turnovers for that historic triple-double. Indiana takes a 3-1 series lead in a high-scoring tilt, winning 130-121. The Pacers cover as a 2.5-point home favorite, our lowest total so far in the Eastern Conference Finals, 219 and a hook, skies way, way over. But most importantly, DRS, the Indiana Pacers just one victory away from the first berth in the NBA Finals for this franchise in 2.5 decades.
Yeah, here we go. Pacers, man, looking really good at home last night. Came out. We always talk about the energy in the building to start 43 first quarter points for the Indiana Pacers. That was absolutely astounding. That's what you needed to see. A lot of good pace, which included Halliburton getting off right away in that game. Now, the one thing we looked at was Jalen Brunson, the 29.5. We're like, you know, the guy's going over because he's going to shoot probably 25 times. He actually only shot 19 times, 9 of 19, which is okay, but got to the free throw line and converted 11 of 12 for 31 points. That was what we like to see. The guy was cracking on continuously for the first couple games is Mikal Bridges. Like, he hit a couple three-point shots late in that game, but over the first, what, I don't know, 40 minutes of the game? Stop shooting the basketball, man. Let somebody else who's hot shoot the basketball at this point. But I can't get over how well this team plays, the Pacers, as a team. The one guy, the questionable mark, is I really like the under 11.5 points for Nesmith, and he goes for 16 points yesterday. That ankle looked fine. Drops two triples right off the bat, yeah, and an absolutely athletic slam dunk to start that game. Like, yeah, he's probably going to get over that 12 points, and he did. I like everything I see, including Benedict Mathurin. Welcome to the series, baby. 20 points in that game off the bench when they needed a buck 30 for the Pacers. Tibbs, where's your defense?
14 playoff games now for Indiana, 11 victories for the Pacers. Last night, just their second win so far in the postseason, where they didn't have six guys in double figures, but five, and they needed 20 points off the bench for Benny Mathurin, who had been struggling throughout this playoff run. 32 points, yeah, 15 assists, 12 rebounds, zero turnovers for Tyrese Halliburton. Three players in NBA playoff history have recorded a 30-point, 15-assist, 10-rebound triple-double. Tyrese Halliburton, Nikola Jokic, and Big O Oscar Robertson. Only one of those guys has done so without committing a single turnover. That was Tyrese Halliburton in game number four last night in front of Pops. John Halliburton, of course, in attendance. 3-1 series lead for Indiana. 3-1 series lead, DRS, on the ice for your Western Conference and Canadian team, the Edmonton Oilers. A decisive 4-1 win in game number four last night of the Western Conference Final. The Oilers and Connor McDavid one victory away from returning to the Stanley Cup Final.
I'm looking for it, man. Let's go, Edmonton. They can halt that long Canadian streak of not winning a Stanley Cup. They've been looking absolutely fantastic, and rightfully so. The problem that we always look at the Oilers isn't scoring goals. They scored four last night. That was great. But getting good goaltending at the same time, if the Oilers get good goaltending, that offense will be there. Leon Draisaitl starts it off last night with a goal, his seventh of the playoffs on the power play. And then you just carry it along, 1-1 tie. You pull away in the third period, a couple empty net goals. That's the way it's done here. Great defense for Edmonton. Man, that looks good if they want to hoist the cup.
Dallas won game number one. They scored five straight goals in the third period, all unanswered. Since that point, Edmonton has won three games in a row with a goal margin of plus 11, 13-2. One of our big matchups yesterday in a full card of Major League Baseball, a divisional duel in Philadelphia. And the Phils get a victory over the Atlanta Braves, 2-0. Six innings of shutout work from Ranger Suarez on the bump. And even after Bryce Harper was hit by a pitch exiting the game in the home half of the first against Spencer Strider, Philadelphia still rallies for a win.
Yeah, and also that elbow injury for Bryce Harper, x-rays came back negative, a sigh of relief in the city of Philadelphia. But boy, oh boy, you want to talk about getting starting pitching? The Phillies have it in absolute spades, 2-0. And the big worry was the bullpen. They convert an extra run in the eighth inning, get to the ninth inning, and a 1-2-3 inning for that Phillies bullpen to win over the Atlanta Braves and extend their lead over the Braves to 9.5. It could be closing time already for the Braves in this series versus the Phillies.
DRS, there was a fear that when Bryce Harper left the game, could it be a significant elbow injury? Yeah. Good news on the x-rays. He is sore, though, after taking that plunk from Spencer Strider. Let's talk about NFL OTAs now. Again, a story of who is there, but maybe more importantly, who is not. And the Buffalo Bills, who have the highest win total in the National Football League entering 2025, their star running back, James Cook, not there, looking for a new contract extension entering the final year of his rookie deal in 2025.
Yeah, 3 years ago, we'd say good luck with that. A running back looking for a high-paid extension, that's not going to happen. But running backs are getting paid now, and he sees that, and he wants to get paid coming off a fantastic year in 2024.
A fantastic season indeed. 17 rushing scores in the regular season. The Atlanta Falcons did not have their backup quarterback at camp yesterday for OTAs. That wouldn't really be a ton of news unless that Falcons backup quarterback was not named Kirk Cousins. He did not show up to voluntary OTAs yesterday in the A.
What a shock. And the Falcons have told you, yeah, we'd love him to have as a backup. Nobody believes that. Just cut him and move on. Let Michael Penix not look over his shoulder and be done with it. It's paid money. Just eat the salary cap. Get it out of the way.
Yeah, not a really big deal except for the name brand behind it. Terry Bradshaw rips the Pittsburgh Steelers, his team, for courting Aaron Rodgers, calling it an absolute joke.
Yeah, I don't know if it's an absolute joke because he is going to be their quarterback. It's just a joke the way the actual process is being played out. He wouldn't have had any problem if Aaron Rodgers joined them a month and a half ago, but now they're like, hey, I need my vacation time. Yeah, you'll rip that.
Terry said, stay in California and eat some bark. That was an exact quote. The New York Liberty and the Minnesota Lynx both stay perfect at a five-game slate around the WNBA. By the way, the league did not find any evidence to substantiate the claims of racist remarks directed at Chicago's Angel Reese in the season opener against the Fever now a few weeks ago. Plenty more coming your way up next on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game number four of the Eastern Conference Finals last night in Indianapolis. The Pacers with home floor advantage and a 2-1 series lead. But how would Indiana respond after coughing up a 20-point lead in game number three? And would the New York Knicks ride that momentum of yet another historic postseason comeback to try to even this series at two games apiece? DRS entering game number four last night. Indiana, an ever-so-slight home favorite, laying 2.5 points at close. Less than $1.50 in terms of winning outright on the money line in our lowest over-under of the Eastern Conference Finals. In any of our four games pregame, it was 219 and a hook. That thing was dead over from the very, very start. A 78-point first quarter between the two, and the Pacers take that commanding 3-1 series advantage with a 130-121 win in a high-scoring affair last night in downtown Indy. The Pacers comfortably cover as a 2.5-point home favorite, and that total of 219 and a hook does, in fact, sky over. We will remember Game 4 for a lot in the Eastern Conference Finals here in 2025. The Pacers now just a single win away from an appearance in the NBA Finals for the first time in 2.5 decades. But it will also be known, DRS, as the Tyrese Halliburton game. 35 points, 15 assists, 12 rebounds without committing a single turnover. The only player in NBA playoff history to accomplish that feat, leading the Pacers to the 3-1 series lead.
It's crazy. Look at the box score for the New York Knicks in the starting lineup here. You had Brunson go for 31. You had Karl-Anthony Towns, 24. OG Anunoby, 22. Mikal Bridges, 17 points. Like, that's good enough. And pseudo-starter Josh Hart, who comes off the bench and plays starter minutes, he chips in with 12 points and 11 rebounds, and you still lost this basketball game. And look at the final score. Yes, it was under double digits, but entering into the fourth quarter, this game was a wrap at this point. The only thing you're waiting for was, well, is this going to be another miraculous collapse by one team with a furious comeback? And you never got that here. And by the way, watching the game starting out, yes, Indiana was hot, but I thought Jalen Brunson might be going for a 50 burger the way he started that first quarter yesterday. But things just didn't work in the Knicks' direction. Why? They're just not as deep. They're just not as talented as the Pacers, which sounds crazy when you see that starting lineup. It's all about interlocking and interworking of the starting five and using your bench. It just seems like the brand of basketball for the Pacers is, if you're open, get yours. And for the New York Knicks, it's like, oh, I got the basketball now? Okay, clear out. Let me go one-on-one and shoot a fadeaway jump shot like Mikal Bridges does repeatedly the entire game. There's one thing we know. Jalen Brunson is an elite ball handler, an elite scorer one-on-one. But it looks like the Knicks go, well, if he's going to get his, I'm going to get mine as well. And it just doesn't fit here. We're not saying the Knicks aren't good. They're in the Eastern Conference Finals. Of course they're good. But this brand of basketball that the Pacers play is like the opposite end of the spectrum than the Knicks here. It's fun to watch. It's free-flowing. And who's ever open is going to get theirs, as opposed to saying, all right, trip up court, it's my time to shine. Let me go one-on-one. 3-1 series lead for the Pacers, Ben. We talked about it before the series started. We like the Pacers. I didn't know we might be getting the Pacers in five. Good.
Absolutely so, DRS. Even entering game number four yesterday, there was an idea from the odds makers. We were still going to go the distance because of what New York pulled off in that dramatic comeback to end out game number three. Now it looks anything but. Again, we can talk about a bunch of different angles from last night. You and I both love Jalen Brunson over 29.5 points. It was the highest points prop. He ends with 31, a ton of free throws. throws last night. New York as a team shot 39. They made 33. There wasn't a huge decisive free throw advantage either which way. The Pacers also at the stripe 32 times last night. But we did also discuss Tyrese Halliburton and his points prop of 21 and a hook, basically saying he doesn't need to go over that. Like, Brunson needs to go over that number for the Knicks to have success. Tyrese didn't really listen. In fact, pulled off one of the historic playoff feats and stat lines we have ever seen. You see it there. 32 points, 15 dimes, 12 boards, not a single turnover, despite being the point guard for the Pacers and orchestrating the offense. Three players, DRS, in NBA postseason history have recorded a 30-point, 15-assist, 10-rebound, triple-double. Oscar Robertson, Nikola Jokic, and Tyrese Halliburton. Only one player in that trio has done so without committing a single turnover. It was Tyrese Halliburton last night in Indianapolis in Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Not bad for the most overrated player in the NBA, according to the players themselves, to come up with a game that big in the middle of the Eastern Conference Finals, in a game that the Pacers absolutely needed just to keep that momentum before they head back to Madison Square Garden. I was really impressed. Also, maybe it was Pops back in the building that said, you know what? I'm in that building. I expect my son to certainly show out. And he did. And I love the fact, too, because we'll talk Brunson in a little bit. He had a great basketball game, great start, but just wasn't there at the end. Halliburton and Brunson were going toe-to-toe. It was almost like, okay, Halliburton wasn't shooting all that well from three-point range. Man, come on. Shoot that shot early and get after it, and he certainly did it. That's what I liked the most. It wasn't like, let me wait to get into rhythm here. He got into rhythm right away, knocked down his first two triples last night, and it was on from there. Love the brand of basketball. And again, Tibbs has always told you how important defense is. You can't give up 43 points in the first quarter. You scored 35. Yeah. You should have won the first quarter by 8 or 9 points, and you lost it by 8 points. Unacceptable for the Knicks with that defensive performance yesterday.
DRS, we talked about the total for this game. Game one flying over even in regulation before we got to that extra session. Yeah. Each of our last two games and game number three staying well under. 219 in a hook. The total entering game four, our lowest so far of this series. And we both said, if the Pacers play with the pace they often want to play, and this skies to the over, that benefits Indiana. The New York Knicks unable to play good defense last night in the Pacers take advantage for the 3-1 series lead. Now, after the historic performance, Tyrese Halliburton is now a minus 550 favorite to win the Eastern Conference Finals MVP. His Indiana team, a minus 590 favorite to win the Eastern Conference crown. And again, we will highlight Halliburton. But DRS, after only four Indiana players reached double figures in game number three, the fewest amount for Indiana throughout this postseason, they had five last night, including Pascal Siakam scoring 30 points. He has scored at least 17 in all four games in this series. And Benedict Mathurin, who has been criticized a ton for his poor performance early in the Eastern Conference Finals, 20 points off the bench, speaking to that balance and depth for the Pacers last night.
Absolutely. Mathurin, how about 10 of 11 from the free throw line? Padding those statistics, love to see it. They shot 51% as a team, which included 40% from the three-point line. A buck 30 there in command. And the Pacers looking like they're going to move forward and play for an NBA championship now.
We'll talk more about it. Indiana one win away from doing so. We'll hear from Tom Thibodeau and what went wrong up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We thought there was a good chance entering Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals. The New York Knicks had figured out something in the second half of Game Number 3 and would utilize that momentum to even up a series at two games apiece. Maybe as the odds makers anticipated, both entering the opening game of this series and Game Number 4 last night, we might see the distance in a competitive set between Indiana and New York. Nope. The Pacers take that commanding 3-1 series advantage. So after a deflating loss where his team gave up 130 points, what does Tom Thibodeau tell his team as they return to Madison Square Garden for game number 5 with their season on the brink?
Tom, what's your message to the team after an emotional loss like that? What do you tell the guys?
And again, it's not going to change. You go into the playoffs with the understanding of what each game is. And so after each game, you have to analyze why you either have won or lost, then make your corrections and get ready for the next game. And so the important thing is to reset and don't get, you're not playing the series, you're playing the game. So what do we have to do to win that game? That's all you need. Each game is different, and have that understanding. There's a lot of emotional highs and lows in the playoffs. You got to reset and get ready for the next game. And hopefully you've built that habit throughout the course of the year of understanding how important each game is, each quarter is, every play, how important that is as well.
DRS, what did you think of what Tibbs had to say?
He should be just telling that to Mikal Bridges at this point. Say, hey, kid, sit this one out the next game. We'll be able to handle this appropriately on our own terms. But hear me out. I hear what he's saying as a coach, because you're saying to yourself, all right, well, you can't win the series if you don't win the next game. And if you win the next game, you still got to win two more games after that. So it's an easy thought process, but, I mean, much easier said than done at this point. You're down 3-1 because you're not as good as the Pacers. Then you're telling your teams, okay, one quarter at a time, one possession at a time, which then turns into one game at a time and two games, then three games. We've got to win all three games. See where we're going at this point? It's really hard to do. They're not going to do that. But you have to tell your team, you can't win three games in game number five. You just have to win game number five, then you have to win game number six, then you have to win game number seven. Don't look at it as we have to win three in a row. Look at it as like three games, we have to win one in a row. I don't think it's going to happen, but as a coach, I understand the thought process and what he's trying to convey to the team.
Yeah, DRS, now when we look at this series, the Pacers one win away from their first appearance in the NBA Finals since the year 2000. 2000, Knicks, Pacers, what happened? That was the last time New York had reached the Eastern Conference Finals, where they lost to Indiana in six games, which was the last time the Pacers, after winning the East, reached the NBA Championship Series. And as DRS and I were breaking down for you yesterday, again, despite coughing up a 20-point advantage late in the opening half of game number three, the Pacers were still on their home floor. The Pacers were still booked as a 2-point favorite for game four. The Pacers had stolen two games inside Madison Square Garden, and yet Indiana only priced around a minus 220 number to win the Eastern Conference Championship. After taking that 3-1 series lead, putting the Knicks on the brink of elimination, and Indiana just one win away from the NBA Finals, the Pacers now, DRS, minus 590 to win this series outright. I don't think it's a matter of who wins. I think it's a matter of when.
Yeah, we're going six or seven games. I said that yesterday. And also from the talking point of when do you jump in on the Knicks? And I was like, well, if you think they're going to win the series, it better be yesterday, which I think was at that plus 185, plus 180 price in that range. And I said, because you can get a better price if they lose, but they're not winning. So you can get plus a million at that point. It wouldn't make any difference to me. I do think this series is over, but also I do think the Knicks will win game number five and force a game number six and maybe even a game number seven. But having said that, the Pacers are going to win this series, whether it's in five, six, or seven. We're just waiting to see. But the talking point yesterday for us is, how do you want to make some plus money? Just take game six and game seven here, and I think it'll work out. Because I do think, again, with the Knicks being the favorite in game number five, you'll get the kitchen sink. You'll get the best version of the Knicks. And if they can't win, so be it. But I do think that we are at least getting six or seven games in this Eastern Conference Finals.
In that game, of course, tomorrow night, game number five, back inside Madison Square Garden. The New York Knicks, according to the odds makers, have some life, at least to keep their season alive and stave off elimination. New York, a 4.5-point home favorite, total 222.5. The market working slightly against the Knicks at this moment. 85% of the early money, DRS, in terms of the spread, backing the team that is booked as an underdog in Indiana, despite the Pacers leading 3-1.
Exactly. I'm going to do the same thing I did looking last night. I thought Brunson would get into the 30s. I know he's going to get into the 30s in game number five. I think he's going to shoot more than 19 times, which you know he can get to the free throw line. It will be on Jalen Brunson. He's going to have to go 35, 35, 35 to keep them in this series here.
Let's talk some Major League Baseball up next as we get you set with everything here on this Wednesday on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A full Tuesday slate around Major League Baseball. We recap for you here on this Wednesday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Of course, a ton of focus on an NL East divisional duel yesterday and a midweek series starting on a Tuesday night at the Bank in Philadelphia, where the Philadelphia Phillies entered with the best record in the National League, and that's where the Phils remain after taking the opening game of their set against their divisional foe in the Atlanta Braves. 2-0 in that opener. DRS, you talked about the importance of this series. Might sound kind of funny about 2 months into a season at the end of May, the importance of a divisional series for a Braves team off to a wildly disappointing start to this season. But the reason you called it important is because of the ground that Atlanta already has to make up, not just to contend for an NL East divisional crown, but winning games against tough teams to try to get back above 500 to maybe even be a playoff team after entering this season with the second best price to win the NL pennant. Unable to do so yesterday as they were blanked after six innings of work by Ranger Suarez, even after the Phils lost Bryce Harper, who was hit by a Spencer Strider pitch early in the opening inning.
Yeah, it was an impressive performance for the Phillies from a standpoint of their starting pitching just continues to be dominant on a day-to-day basis. Like, we're not talking about a staff that's, hey, you got a 1-2 punch and see what you get. Every single starter that goes out there can shove it 5, 6, 7, 8 innings, strikeouts, holding the opponent down. And the importance of this series where you put Spencer Strider on the mound, like, all right, we know we're getting good pitching performances out of the Phillies. Can we steal game number one? Maybe we can get lucky and beat a Wheeler start, which is expected today, and then we'll see what happens in game number three. But you must come into Philadelphia and win two of these three games to sort of start to make a dent in the Philadelphia Phillies. You can't come into Philadelphia and lose ground. And it looks like after game number one, that's going to be the possibility now, because why? Zach Wheeler's going to get the start today against a pitcher that he's better than. If he holds those Atlanta bats down, then it turns into 10.5 games and already a double-digit lead. There's a long way to play in the season. June, July, August, and September. That's 4 months. But good luck trying to jump a team when they have a 10-game advantage on you here. That's probably not going to happen. And you see the odds shifting towards the Braves winning the division on a day-to-day basis. Once we're palpable, now starting to get a little bit out of control. And the Phillies didn't even play a good brand of baseball yesterday at the plate. Only 5 total hits. Bryce Harper gets hit early in that game and gets excused from it. Sosa goes 0-3. Schwarber goes 0-3. And you still won that game against the ace for the Atlanta Braves, because Ranger Suarez has been nothing short of spectacular over the past month here. Huge win for the Phillies, and they didn't even bring their A game.
We highlighted the strength of the starting staff for Philadelphia, probably 1-4, 1-5, the best starting rotation in all of the bigs. And you hear that, at least based on recent memory, and you think Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola, 1-1A up front. Aaron Nola is struggling the last season and a half. It's been Christopher Sanchez. It's been Jesus Luzardo, the offseason acquisition. And the return now of Ranger Suarez, who has been sensational as well and is a big-time performer in playoff baseball for Philadelphia, as we have seen. It was not like Spencer Strider was awful yesterday, DRS. 4 2/3, allowed one single base hit. It just happened to be the RBI double. Max Kepler for the Phils recorded in the home half of the second. So Strider now this year in 4 total starts is 0-3. And Atlanta actually did win the first series of the year against Philadelphia back in early April, but the Braves entered that set just 1-8 straight up after an 0-7 start. And Donnie, that is the story for the Braves, a team that entered with the second best price to win the National League pennant, only behind the LA Dodgers entering 2025, and now a team that is 3 games sub 500 at 25-28. As we look at the NL East standings, Philadelphia in first, now 35-19, the best mark in the National League, the second best record in Major League Baseball, only behind the Detroit Tigers. And the Phils a slight odds-on favorite at -110 to win the divisional crown. Of course, it's not just Philadelphia and Atlanta we need to focus on. The New York Mets, 34-21, a game and a half behind the Phillies at this moment. And the Mets have been sensational this year. That is going to be the divisional race. But to Donnie's point, because Atlanta is so far already in the hole, can they even make up enough ground to be a playoff team, let alone a divisional contender?
And that's going to be the tough part, because also when you look at the divisional standings, you're jumping two teams, not one team here. And that's why you bring up the Mets, only a game and a half of the Philadelphia Phillies, which means that by the end of this series, they could also be chasing over 10 games on the Phillies and the New York Mets, that's certainly a recipe for disaster, because you look at the way the other teams are playing across Major League Baseball. There's a couple teams in the Central we didn't expect to be there with this many wins at this point. Mm-hmm. And then we talk about out west in the NL. I mean, there might be 2 to 3 playoff teams out of that. So you're looking at maybe you have to win the division or come damn close to it like the Mets might with the Philadelphia Phillies to get that wild card spot. But it doesn't look good for the Braves here. 7-1 price to win the NL East. As we said, again, there's 4 months left in the Major League Baseball season. Yeah, you're back 3 or 4 games, you can make that up. If you're back to 2 teams, double-digit games, you're not going to make that up, because you're hoping that the Phillies would get injured and play bad baseball. You're hoping that the Mets would get injured and play bad baseball. Well, how about yourself? You can still play bad baseball, and you can get injured as well. There's no guarantee that Acuna is going to stay healthy the rest of the year, or Strider, another one, like Matt Olson, let's just say. So you're under the same predicaments that every other team are. The only difference is you're 10 games back. They're not.
Yeah, the Phils right now, DRS, 35-19, a game and a half lead over New York for the top spot in the NL East, a game and a half better than 2 other teams, tied with the Mets with the same record right now around the National League at 34-21, all 3 of those teams winning yesterday. The Mets knock off the White Sox 6-4. They'll look for the sweep today up in Queens. That's what you need to do when you play Chicago. The other Chicago team, the Cubbies, getting a narrow victory over the Colorado Rockies. Again, that's what you need to do when you play the worst team in Major League Baseball in the Dodgers, plating 9 runs yesterday in Cleveland to beat the Guardians. And Shohei Ohtani homering for a 3rd consecutive game. He's got 20 dingers this year, the most in MLB. So the Philadelphia Phillies, a game and a half up over those 3 teams for the best record in the National League. We're a far way away from looking at the National League postseason, but are we? If you are the Atlanta Braves, Donnie, we talked about it numerous times. The Braves started this year 0-7. No team in Major League Baseball history has started a season 0-7 and reached the postseason. Slightly different now because of the expanded postseason around Major League Baseball. And the Braves at this moment on the FanDuel Sportsbook still slightly favored to see the playoffs at -118. -118 to make, -104 to miss. I'm not sure I have that much confidence in Atlanta doing so, because they are 25-28 and there's a lot of ground to be made up. Some really good teams in the NL West outside of the Dodgers, the Padres, Giants, and even the Arizona Diamondbacks. And the St. Louis Cardinals, from a positive perspective, have been the most surprising team this year in MLB, with another victory yesterday for the Redbirds.
Yeah, and again, you're taking a look at those National League teams you have to jump. When you talk about just the East, you have to jump the Mets and the Philadelphia Phillies. But if we're taking a look now, it's like you're only 1 game better, talking about the Braves, from the Nationals right now. 3 or 4 games better than the Marlins right here. You would have to jump the Diamondbacks, Reds, Brewers, Cardinals, Giants, Padres, Mets, Dodgers, Cubs, and Phillies if you want to obviously get to the top of the standings. But that's a lot of teams that are going to be playing good baseball. And also, if you're at the trade deadline, right, and you are, let's just say, the Reds, the Brewers, the Cardinals, or the Giants, you're not throwing in the towel. So it's not like, okay, we'll pass those teams by because they're not trying to win at this point. They're also trying to win. So the expanded wild card also does not help you, because typically teams will be fire sailing left and right. But if you're within 3 or 4 games of that final wild card spot, you're not fire sailing your best closer, your best reliever, your best starting pitcher, your best bat in that lineup. So it makes it even tougher, because I always give a lot of respect to that Braves front office being one of the best in baseball. But it gets a little bit tougher when you're saying, hey, I got to bid between 5 or 6 teams to get a middling reliever here. Maybe it's not in the cards this season to make the playoffs.
I am making an official declaration here on this Wednesday, May 28th, 2025, on the Early Line on Sports Grid, with Donnie Wrightside as my witness. The Atlanta Braves are on fork watch as we placed the Houston Astros last year. Was the fork in the Astros? Was it in the cupboard? Was it in the kitchen even? Or have we thrown it away in the garbage? The Atlanta Braves are on fork watch. If we stick the fork in them, it means they're done.
Exactly. And that means they probably come back and go on and win in the next 17 of 18 games and take the lead in the MLB by the All-Star break, right? Yeah. It is.
Good thing to be on fourth watch on TEL. More around the bigs next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The new McCrispy strip is here. Dip approved by ketchup, tangy barbecue, honey mustard, Sprite, McFlurry, Big Mac sauce, double dipped in buffalo and ranch, more ranch, and creamy chili McCrispy strip dip. Now at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
More headlines around a very full Tuesday in Major League Baseball as we welcome you back to the Early Line live right here on this Wednesday morning on the grid. He is Donnie. I am Ben. When you look at a walk-off DRS and you look at an extra innings game that features a score of 5-1, where the home team, of course, has walked it off, you're left a little bit perplexed, and then you go, oh, must have been a grand salami. That's exactly what happened yesterday for the Milwaukee Brewers as they beat the Red Sox at home, courtesy of the grand slam from Christian Yelich. A 5-1 victory for the Brew Crew yesterday against Boston.
Evens them up to 28-28 overall, and also drops the Boston Red Sox three games under 500. Eesh. That is a tough way to lose because, again, if you had the under, you still hit it at that same time. But if you're looking at a money line Boston, that's tough. Or if you had Boston plus 1.5 runs or any which way you had it, or even a team total on the Brewers, which you probably know higher than 4-4.5 runs, cashing that ticket certainly is a surprise for you. But that is a tough final score of 5-1 in 10 innings when you were the home team and you walk it off with a grand slam. So there you go. And by the way, did that grand slam, was it hit with two outs? Because that would have been incredible. I didn't see the game the way it finished up, though. So
let me make sure here, DRS. I do not believe that it was. Let's double check. Let's go all the way to the bottom. Yeah, no, just one out. Just one out for Christian Yelich there in the home half of the 10th. But still the grand salami as he was able to deliver a victory to Milwaukee, who has taken each of the opening two games in this midweek series against the Red Sox, as DRS mentioned. Boston now 27-30, three games sub 500. The Brewers back to an even 500 mark, looking for a series sweep today against those Red Sox. A full Wednesday slate in the bigs. Eight of our 15 games during the afternoon hours, including the series finale today in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Third consecutive game for Shohei Ohtani, hitting a ball over the wall in the outfield. That would be a home run. He has 20 of them this year for the LA Dodgers, the most in Major League Baseball. The Dodgers have won each of their two games so far this week in their midweek set against the Cleveland Guardians. 9-5, the victory yesterday in a high-scoring affair in the land.
Yeah, Tanner Bibee struggling yesterday, no doubt about it. Five innings pitched, four earned runs, seven strikeouts, but gave up the seven hits, which included an early one there to Shohei Ohtani, who now lifts his average closer to 300 after going 1-for-3 yesterday, but the two RBI coming via the home run. He's been so impressive, and we talked about the price points for the MVP, right? Yeah. Minus 120s, minus 130s, now up to a minus 190. Still an absolute steal. He's going to pitch. He's going to hit 50 home runs. Nobody is going to touch him. We love Fernando Tatis. There's a lot of really good baseball players in the National League, but there is nothing like Shohei Ohtani. So pretty soon we're going to be on market watch for him to be a minus 8,000, just like Aaron Judge is. But yesterday, just showing the explosiveness there of the Dodgers. Nine runs on 13 hits on the road. It's just what they do. 1-9, they're as talented as it gets.
Yes, they certainly are. And 20 home runs this year for Shohei Ohtani. Again, the most in Major League Baseball. We updated those MVP prices yesterday. Aaron Judge, a preposterous and historic season. He's at 395 right now in the batting average and a minus 8,000 favorite to win the AL MVP. Ohtani did not move from our discussion yesterday, DRS, despite that 20th homer of the year. Still minus 190. Again, an argument to be made. Also, earlier this week, Ohtani in his recent recent throwing session, hit 97 on the gun, working his way back from Tommy John surgery. They expect him to pitch at some point on the bump for the Dodgers, who have needed some help, at least in their starting staff this year, maybe post All-Star break. Whenever it happens, he goes back to being that most valuable player, just in the essence of what he does on the diamond for LA. I don't even think minus 190 DRS is all that bad of a price to pay on Shohei Ohtani to win his second consecutive NL MVP award.
No, it's cheap. It really is. I'm telling you, it's a surprise that you get the dichotomy of the American League guy who's far and away the best baseball player, and he's minus 8,000, and then the National League guy who, again, is far and away the best baseball player and is going to pitch, why he's so far lagging back. Now, are there other opportunities for guys behind him to steal that? Sure there are. And there's injuries that could happen? Of course there are. But right now, that minus 190 price, I put it this way. When we're starting to talk about the MVP awards being finalized in like late September, at barring injury, it's Ohtani. So that, again, same thing with Aaron Judge. This is such a big discrepancy in the price points here, which I sort of understand, but then again, I don't understand, if that makes sense. Minus 190 is just going to creep higher and higher. It'll be 230, but just like Cam Ward in the NFL draft. Hey, you can get him at plus 100. Get it now. Value. Oh, there's still value on minus 900. Get it now. Oh, now it's minus 30,000. That's the way it feels like it's going to be for Ohtani in late September.
A big weekend series upcoming at the Ravine in downtown Los Angeles between the Yankees and the Dodgers. Last night in Anaheim, the Pinstripes stay hot, and Carlos Rodon stays red hot on the bump. Seven innings of shutout work against the Halos, striking out 10. Rodon this year now 7-3 with a 2.60 ERA. The Yankees beat the Angels in Anaheim 3-2. The final, New York DRS has won 15 of its last 19 games.
Yeah, got to handle your business. That's what they're doing. 34-20 now in the season. Probably the best overall team in the American League. But also from an Angels perspective, I don't know how Tyler Anderson gets anybody out. His xFIP is through the roof, but every game seems like he has good performances. Six innings pitched, only one earned run yesterday. So if you're getting a toe-to-toe pitching performance and you still come away with a victory on the road, you'll take that any way you can get it. And the Yankees did that last night.
The Yankees at 34-20, the only team above 500 in the American League East, a seven-game advantage right now over the Rays, who are at even 500, 27-27. The Rangers have been struggling this year, at least to hit. Same story yesterday, and more bad news for Texas. Despite a 2-0 win over the Blue Jays, Nathan Eovaldi exits his start DRS after only two innings.
Yeah, it's a tough scene right there, but also having your team carry you through and picking you up at that point makes a big difference. Eovaldi, one of the better pitchers in baseball. Let's hope it's not anything serious or long-term.
Because that Rangers starting staff has been unreal this year. Eovaldi, Jacob deGrom, not to mention a few others for Texas. You saw that pitching on full display, despite only two innings of work out of Eovaldi before he left with the injury. It's just the Rangers are sub-500 DRS. They only scored two runs. They all came, I believe, in the eighth inning yesterday, courtesy of an RBI from Josh Young, and then a couple of weird pickoff attempts from Toronto, leading to another run. The Texas Rangers winning 2-0, but still sub-500. All right, that does it for a Tuesday around Major League Baseball, a full Wednesday slate that we will start to preview, break down, and give you some picks for the mind of Donnie Wrightside coming up a little bit later in hour number two. Again, a full Wednesday slate, eight of those 15 games in the afternoon hours. Let's talk some football headlines around OTAs up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A big week in the National Football League. OTAs happening all around the NFL. Voluntary offseason programs, but you expect a lot of those guys to show up. We'll talk about who was there and maybe who was absent being a bigger story. A guy not at OTAs for any team just yet, that's free agent Aaron Rodgers. We expect at some point this offseason, DRS, he makes his way to the Steel City to be the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll see if slash when that happens. Of course, longtime Steelers and Super Bowl winning quarterback Terry Bradshaw made his opinion very clear on his former team going after Aaron Rodgers this offseason, calling the Steelers' interest in Rodgers, quote, a joke, end quote, speaking on a radio station in Arkansas. DRS, what do you make of Terry Bradshaw's reaction to his former team's interest in the in Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, he's right at this point. Understand this, the way the offseason works, right? For all intents and purposes, the Jets were dead and buried late in the season. So his season, let's just say, ended January the 1st, which means January, February, March, April, and May. And he's still not on a football team right now. But we don't know if he wants to play or not play. So this has me going from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, man, you know what's intriguing? Aaron Rodgers goes to Pittsburgh. He's working out with them. Like, what can they actually do this season? Because Pittsburgh's MO is, we're going to win more football games than we lose, which means you're probably going to make the playoffs, and Aaron Rodgers on a veteran team, what can he do? It didn't work in New York. We obviously saw that. He got injured, but that's in the past. But now we're understanding this belief that we know Pittsburgh did not set up their offseason to say, here's what we want to do. Mason Rudolph, welcome back. You're our starting quarterback. We've always wanted you here. And that's not what the case is. We've all anticipated that Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback, but you still need somebody that's going to be in camp and OTAs and throughout the season in case Aaron Rodgers does get injured, who knows the system and has played in the playoffs and had playoff runs and has been with the organization. I get that. But there's no way that, like, this is going to turn so interesting. Like, the Steelers go into the season and tell their fans, like, yeah, it was always Mason Rudolph. I don't know if anybody, like, season ticket holders will probably revolt. So you're waiting on Rodgers, which does make some sense. But then again, you're saying, well, I have a quarterback. If he's really not sure if he wants to play and we're heading into June, like, what has he been doing and where is his mental focus? That's one thing. Number two is, hey, Pittsburgh, you're not going anywhere without me. I'll show up a day before training camp and still be the best quarterback you have. That is going to be a disaster if they open the season, let's just say 1-3 or 2-2 in the month of September. So I'm having two issues with this. Number one is, can Aaron Rodgers be the quarterback the Steelers need to make a playoff run? But also, is Aaron Rodgers going like, you're stuck, I'm not, I'll make the decision when I'm ready. I want to go on vacation. I want to spend time with my family. I want to golf. I want to do everything but build camaraderie and chemistry with my teammates. This just sounds terrible. Like, Terry Bradshaw, the way he said it was kind of funny, but in my way, I sort of agree with it. It's like, we're holding out for this quarterback that's holding us hostage when it's not a guarantee that we're even going to be good with this guy. What are we doing, Steelers?
It is an absolute joke, and I'm not necessarily blaming Aaron Rodgers, and I don't even know if I'm really I am blaming the Pittsburgh Steelers because they have gone with this Band-Aid idea at the quarterback spot the last few years. They bring back Mason Rudolph, who was at OTAs yesterday for Pittsburgh, and said it's nice to be back and it's nice to be wanted. Are you exactly wanted when everybody around the league knows it's not a matter, or it's just a matter of time until Aaron Rodgers is there? And frankly, if you are Rodgers, why would you not when you have all of the leverage at this moment? You can disagree with his philosophy, but if Aaron Rodgers, who is often regarded as a selfish individual and has shown those true colors over the past few seasons, if he can hang out, not have to play football at the moment, he can golf, he can hang out and have fun, do whatever the heck Aaron Rodgers likes to do off the field, go to a music event and have a press conference for whatever weird reason he can, why wouldn't he selfishly? That's who he has always been. What the joke is, DRS, is the idea that Aaron Rodgers is a savior, that Aaron Rodgers moves the needle even an inch or a win for Pittsburgh. He doesn't. The Steelers have an 8.5 win total this year. Could they win 10 games? Sure. They've done that with Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph in years past. They've done that with Big Ben at the end of his NFL career. They have made the postseason. Will they go deeper in the AFC playoffs than they have previous just because Aaron Rodgers at the age of 42 at that potential time is there? Absolutely not. And that's why I will not and do not understand the Pittsburgh Steelers putting all of their eggs in one basket, because Aaron Rodgers does not move the needle. Does he, DRS?
No, and also, maybe this is good for Pittsburgh. Maybe Aaron Rodgers, you know, leaves them at the altar. They go under 500. Mike Tomlin gets fired. He can start the next regime in town. Maybe it works out in their favor. Who knows?
We'll talk about it more as we continue our NFL conversations up next.